scripture reading tonight will be coming from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 through 8. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is implanted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time to war, a time of war, and a time of peace.
Our young people growing up. I've been here, how long, Charlie? You keep up with me. 5 years. And Jack has really grown up in 5 years. And appreciate him for his effort and his work that he does. On a lighter side tonight, at least the introduction, I want you to think about something. I was sitting in my recliner this afternoon looking over my lesson. And I got thinking about, what have you accomplished in life? What are you proud of in life? If you made a list of things that you've done in your life, what kind of list would you have? Obviously, the first thing I thought of was my athletic career. You know, it started back in elementary school. Dodgeball and kickball. I graduated from dodgeball and kickball, and I started playing baseball. Played baseball until I was 12. I quit. Didn't really care for baseball. Wasn't really good at it. I did like the free Cokes, Keith. Started playing basketball when I was in fifth grade. Played all the way through my senior year. Went to Freed Hardeman. Walked on the floor, tried out, got offered a spot on their team without a scholarship. They'd give away all the scholarships. And I stayed with the team for some time. And then I quit and started playing for Phi Kappa. I thought it was more fun. Played football on the first football team West Carroll ever had. I don't even know if you call it a season. I know in the history in West Carroll, they don't really account for the year that we started because it was really a practice squad. But we went out and we played 8 or 10 games, and we got beat like a drum every game we played. And we never scored a point. Never even got close to scoring but one time. It was awful. That's pretty much it. Come to me in sports. But I did take karate for a long time. Took karate, I enjoyed it. Went to several tournaments, fought in karate tournaments. Got to Freed Hardeman, they offered judo. I took judo. From there, I graduated to professional wrestling. Started off as Big Claude, then the Redneck Assassin. That's pretty much my career in fighting. That's it. What have I done with my life? Well, I can water ski. Well, I could 25 years ago. I don't know if I could now or not. Roller skate, never was too good at it. I can stay on my feet. I can't stop. How I stop is the wall or the floor. I don't know how to put my toe down and stop, but I can roller skate. At Freed Hardeman, I know you're going to be shocked. But I was a big rascal at Freed Hardeman, too. They had what they called Silly Saturday, and it was the Phi Kappa, all the different clubs down there. We competed against each other. The three things they put me in the first year was weightlifting, deadlift is what it was, tug-of-war team, and the He-Man competition. Oh, it was fun. We won. Looking back on that, that was great. That was great, great memories. I still got the shirt. Got the certificate they give me. He-Man champion. That's something to hang on the wall. Take great pride in. They put me one time in a pancake eating contest at Fred Hardeman. They said, I believe you can eat pancakes. And I said, I can wear them out. I'll win this. We sat down at a table. It was probably 200 or 300 people watching us. They brought a stack over there. I said, you just keep them coming. Horn blowed, whistle, whatever. It got started. I got one pancake down. My nerves were so bad because what I was doing, I couldn't even eat the pancakes. It was bad. I got up from the table and just walked off. It was pretty embarrassing. That was my eating career, I guess, if you wanted to call it that. Me and Mr. Sherrill, we ran in a 5K here in Tresvant, and we won. He won his age, I won my age, or actually I tied, I think, my age, I don't remember. And that hadn't been but what, Mr. Sherrill, 2 or 3 years ago. I don't remember if we got a certificate, but I got a medal. That's something to hang on the wall, I guarantee it. I jumped out of airplanes. That was amazing. It really was. It was amazing to walk to the door of the airplane and look down and see cars and cows and houses, and they were just that big. And you stand there in that door and a green light goes off and you exit the aircraft. Hoping the guy that packed that parachute paid attention that day he packed yours. It's just amazing, y'all. Once you got out of the airplane, you could not tell you were falling. The only reason you knew you were falling was the airplane was leaving you. And when you got close to the ground, business started picking up a little bit, and you could tell you was falling. But it was amazing. I carried a camera with me one time. I made pictures on the way down. I look back on that. That was all right. That's something a lot of people has not done in their life. Charles Foster, he taught me how to run a backhoe. I went from a backhoe to a track hoe. I've even operated a dozer a little bit. I've been on heavy equipment. That's fun. That's a young boy's dream, getting on a track hoe, a backhoe, or a dozer. I cleared a woods one time in Alabama with a track hoe. My boss asked me, can you run a track hoe? I said, oh, yeah. Never been on one. Been on a backhoe. I've been told it was the same thing. So he said, we need these woods cleared here. And there was trees that big around. It didn't take me too many days that I figured out how to throw a tree without killing myself. That was fun. Think back to my granddaddy JL sitting out under a shade tree. He grabbed my hands one time and he was looking at my hands. He said, my hands used to be that young. I said, what do you mean, granddaddy? He said, look at my old skin. He had age spots all over his hands. His hands was rough, calloused. He said, you got soft hands, young. I was probably 8, 10 year old, 12 at the most, because he died when I was 12. But he sat there and he held my hand. He said, I used to be that young. We have members here at this congregation in the last 5 years that we've lost. We've got members in this congregation now that are getting older and feeble. You look around and you see spots that's missing, that without a doubt they would have always been sitting in that pew had they been able to be here. Have you made your list in your mind yet? If you look back on your life, what stands out that you've done, what you accomplished? You might have been on a tug of war team too. I don't know what your list compiles of, but what is it? As you get through life and you think back to it, what are you going to remember the most? What's going to be hanging on your wall, if I can say it that way? Jack read for us, there is a time for everything. We need to make sure that we're making time for godly things, for God in our life, for living a Christian life. You know, God is interested in us being humble people. In the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world." I'm going to read several scriptures here tonight. I'm not going to wait on you because I've got about 15 or 20. I've got them on a piece of paper. And I've got these down, and it's odd for me to have this translation or use this translation, but I looked at several translations. And I'm going to use the NIV tonight in the scriptures I'm going to read. But just pay attention, if you will. Psalms 18:27. "You save the humble, but bring low those eyes are haughty." Psalms 25:9. "He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way." Psalms 147:6. "The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground." Psalms 149:4. "For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation." Proverbs 3:34. "He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble." Isaiah 29:19. "Once more the humble will rejoice in the Lord. The needy will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." Isaiah 66:2 says, "Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." Daniel 10:12. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain, understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." Luke 1:52. "He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble." James 1:9. "The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position." James 4:6. "But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourself in humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." 1 Peter 5:6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." Proverbs 11:2, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but the humility comes wisdom." Proverbs 15:33, "The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor." Proverbs 18:12, before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor." Proverbs 22:4, "Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life." 1 Peter 5:5, "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Look at all the blessings that we just read about. Wealth, honor, life, wisdom, being lifted up, salvation, guidance, being sustained, crown, rejoicing, grace, esteemed by God, prayers are heard, high position, exalted, more grace, more grace, more grace. With all these blessings for being humble, why are not more people humble? Trying to get a date in my head. 1980. I was 12. Granddaddy was 62. In about 10 or 12 years, my hands, 13 years, my hands will be the same age as his if I live that long. If I can put another 13 years under my belt, I'm going to be where my granddaddy was. Just like that. Just like that, and it's gone. You look back on your life, what are you most proud of? what accomplishments have you had or made? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. I think about Sister Margaret Barlow. I think about Miss Mothanelle Reed. I think about Miss Helen Coleman. I think about Miss Laverne Blue. And I think about the example that they've set for so many, continuing to fight the good fight in a humble way. Miss Mothanelle is still a joy to go see and talk to. She's smiling. She may not like exactly where she's at, but she's content. She makes the best of it. Are you willing tonight to make the very best of what you have in your life? Looking back over the years, if you live to be another 20 years older, and you look back over your life, are you going to be content with the things you've accomplished? You see, I made a long list before I got up here. I didn't mean anything to y'all. Nothing. Oh, it does me, though. I look back on my life, what I done. I fought in a karate tournament and won first place. 30-something people in my division. And I come home with a trophy. At 47, it don't mean anything anymore. It's just a memory. Walking on a basketball court at Freda Harbor and them saying, yeah, we got a spot for you. I never did play the first game for Freed Harbor. It don't mean anything to you, but I look back on it. I said, well, a lot of people walked on, didn't get that spot. Been preaching since I was 19. I think about all the people that I've stood in front of. I think about all the funerals that I preached, all the weddings I performed, all the people who walked down an aisle, sat on a front pew crying, humbled because they knew their life was not where it should be. I think about all the people that I've baptized over the years, how they were humbled to the point they wanted to allow Christ to take over their life. Those are things that lift me up. Tonight, we have to look at our own life. We have to look at our own accomplishments. We have to really see where we're at and where we want to be. Are you humbled to the point that God will lift you up? Or do you think more of yourself than you should? Because the older I get, it's the little things. It's not the big things anymore. When my grandbabies get home here in a few minutes, it's that the Easter Bunny has come and a pile of stuff's laying there on the floor waiting to see their face when they walk in. It's the little things. I hope I live long enough. And I hope my grandkids one day will obey the gospel, and I hope I'm the man that immerses them into Christ. See, that's a big thing. I hope I can influence them. It's all where we want to set our mind and what's most important to us. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you want to become a Christian, we're about to sing a song. Tonight you can be baptized for the remission of your sins through your faith, willing to turn away from sin, and whether you can answer the question that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're here tonight and you've been unfaithful to God and you need to rededicate your life to God, our prayer is that you will come while we stand and sing.